Haines residents hear about changes to the small boat harbor expansion design, and testing happening at the former Haines fuel terminal could lead to a final contamination cleanup. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. The U.S. Army is working to assess contamination that has lived in the soil and groundwater at the Haines tank farm and fuel terminal for decades. The contamination happened during the operation of the Haines Fairbanks pipeline. The pipeline was built by the Army in the 1950s to supply fuel to military bases in interior Alaska. In the past 20 years, the Army conducted dozens of surveys and studies at the now-defunct fuel terminal, but the piecemeal effort never resulted in a full-fledged assessment and cleanup. The Army hopes the work happening now will do just that.
So he's going to swing around, and he's going to snip it with that shear that he's got on his excavator arm. And then the guy in the orange, he's going to be lifting it out of the ground.
So what happened was they just tested to see if there was anything in this section of pipe that they have uncovered.
Correct.
They found that it was dry.
Correct.
So that means that they have the go-ahead to cut it and take it out of the ground.
Correct. And if it had fluids in it, they would have to address the fluids.
I'm talking to Brian Adams. He's an environmental protection specialist with the Army. Workers have dug into the ground and severed a section of the pipeline. They cut a hole in it to see if there are any residual fluids. There weren't any. Now they're removing it from the ground it's been in for 60-plus years.
Within the tank farm and mainline pipe, there's about 14,000 linear feet of pipe. They've removed 5,000, almost 6,000 linear feet of pipe already.
The contractors at the fuel terminal did this pipeline removal demonstration for a couple members of the local restoration advisory board. Most of the recent work has been in the tank farm area, but the demonstration took place in what Adams calls the admin area.
It's purely safety. There's far too many trenches up there. There's far too many holes that these people have dug trying to get to the pipeline.
That's why I wasn't able to see the work that's happened over the past 6 months at the tank farm. Adams says a central piece of it is testing for contamination. Contractor Northwind Inc. is drilling holes in the ground using ultraviolet screening technology.
They're punching UVOS holes into the ground. It's just a rod, and it's got a laser in it. And that laser sends out a signal, and it's not going out very far, but as it passes through the soil column that it's entering, it'll read what's there.
The laser refracts off contaminants like petroleum in the soil.
What happens is when they hit a hot spot, all right, they would take that hot spot, and that's where they would put a sampling well, and they take water samples.
They'll use the data to determine the extent and nature of the contamination and the risk it poses to the environment and people. Department of Environmental Conservation Project Manager Anne-Marie Palmieri says what happens next really depends on what kind of contamination they find and how much there is. If it's just petroleum, it will be easier to clean up and the Army will have to go through a less intensive process. If there are more toxic contaminants, it's a different story. Right now, Adams can't talk about what they've found because the work isn't finished.
I'll be honest in that I can tell you that we're finding some contamination in places that we weren't expecting to find it. And we're not finding it in other places that we were expecting to find it. So it's the more I learn about the site, the more confused I get.
Is that concerning?
It's not concerning. It's just confusing. I mean, it's there. I mean, we know that it's there. It's just that what's confusing is how it got there. How it got there from, let's say, this point over here to this point over here when the groundwater flow is this way. And so it's just a matter of
being thorough,
right?
And checking every area.
We have to find it. I mean, and we have to understand what we're doing before we get into the end cleanup.
That cleanup is a long time coming. Here's DEC's Palmieri.
In the past, they have conducted numerous investigations, but they haven't looked at it, you know, as the entire site together and how it all fits together.
Haines residents will have the chance to learn about the initial results later this year. The Army is planning to hold an advisory board meeting in early or mid-December. Then, in 2016 and beyond, the Army plans to come up with a process to finally clean up the contamination that's polluted sections of the old tank farm for decades. Fishermen, residents, and borough officials filled the Chilkat Center lobby last week to hear from Harbor Master Sean Bell. He updated the crowd on projects and upgrades at Lutac, Letnikoff, and Portage Cove Harbor and the cruise ship dock. But the focus of the forum quickly turned to Portage Cove and the small boat harbor expansion project. KHNS's Jillian Rogers attended the meeting and filed this report.
There have been a few changes to the 95% plan of the Portage Cove Harbor expansion, including a shortened wave barrier, the accompanying dredging, and plans for a two-lane drive-down ramp. With the wave barrier being brought down to 600 feet instead of 700, that raised questions where dredging should happen to compensate for the 100 feet less of protection. Here's Bell.
Our dredging is not matching our breakwater base bid.
Because there is less wave protection, the plan had to be tweaked a little with everything moved over to get behind the shorter wave barrier. There is an option for an additional 33 feet in the revised plan, but only if money and resources allow. The plan no longer includes the full 700 feet because of budgetary restraints.
Whatever we end up getting for the breakwater, we don't anticipate coming back at a later date and then adding to it.
After P&D completed a wave study, it was decided that the future launch ramp needed to move over to reap protection from the wall. The sewer output line has also been moved over in the new draft to compensate for the reduced barrier.
Obviously, there's a huge amount of savings from all this dredging that's now not having to be accomplished. The biggest downfall, well, we now have a smaller basin to work with. We were still able to squeeze in what we wanted to in the original design, but it tightens things up a bit, for sure.
The adjustments bring the cost for the wave barrier, dredging, and parking lot to around $18.3 million, with $19.5 million to spend. So, Bell said, some of the add alternates, including additional dredging, could happen sooner rather than later. The expansion still includes 45 additional slips and several hundred feet of extra moorage space for larger vessels. Bell told the group that there are currently 90 people on the waiting list for a spot at the harbor. But Bell maintained that the plan is still just a concept, and details can be changed. With the recent revelation that another permit is needed by the Army Corps of Engineers, the project will be delayed by up to a year. The Section 408 permit will require various studies, one of which has to prove that the additional wave barrier won't compromise the rubble mound, which was an Army Corps project.
This permit caught us by surprise. It caught P&D by total surprise.
Audience members raised questions about how the engineers didn't see this coming. They also asked whether the borough could just purchase the rubble mound from the Corps to avoid lengthening the process. To that, Bell replied,
"It's not as simple as just saying, just give us ownership of it and we're free of the 408. Because, like I said before, they want other studies. We're changing the federally designated route regardless."
Borough Manager Dave Sosa also addressed the concern about why no one saw this coming. He said that the permit went into effect in Alaska in July 2014, and the harbor project in Haines is among the first in the state to require it.
Lucky us. Here we are now. So we're going through this, and we're learning. The Army Corps of Engineers for Alaska is learning. So we're still trying to understand the full impacts.
At the meeting, Bell also briefed the public on the funding future for various aspects of the harbor expansion, including a two-lane launch ramp. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has agreed to put up $500,000 for 3 years for the ramp, with the borough on the hook to match 25%. Bell said he would request $100,000 a year from the borough's Capital Improvement Project, or CIP, budget until the ramp is funded. Fish and Game will require wave protection, the funding match, and enough parking for the agency's trucks and trailers. But is a two-lane launch ramp really necessary for such a relatively small harbor? Here's Deborah Schnabel.
Has there been a market study to determine whether and why we need a two-lane launch ramp?
Sosa responded that most of the cost comes from getting a ramp in at all. So why not add an extra lane for a significantly smaller cost while it's being built? He added that the cost associated with a study like that is between $25,000 and $45,000, and that borough staff is already looking into it. He said the 408 permit delay might allow for more time to actually complete a study on whether there is justification for a larger ramp. Bell added that he would also request $100,000 from the CIP for harbor aesthetics in FY17 and between $25,000 and $50,000 in FY18 and 19. For now, it's a bit of a waiting game until more is known about exactly what the surprise permit will entail. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.